Blog Talk Radio.
Due to scheduling conflicts and time zones, the following program has been pre-recorded at an earlier time. Phone lines will not be live. Please do not call. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. My name is Colin Nightboy. Have we got a good show for you tonight? John Hoke from Hoke Prophecy will be with us. Hang in there.
The Aquarian Age is a time of greater spontaneity. It's going to be a time where the era of the great faith-based religions of the Piscean Age will fade and be replaced by religions that are more scientific. Rather than to believe, the next 2,000 years is about knowing.
Tonight, in the darkness of the Night Zone, we examine the works of Nostradamus through the eyes of John Hoke from HokeProphecy.com.
John is no stranger to the Night Zone. His last predictions on the Night Zone nailed the financial crisis, the election results, Obamagoggery, and pitfalls of world political truth. Tonight, we shall look into the shadows of the Nostradamus prophecy of the Antichrist, decoded by John Hoke, codenamed
Mabus.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, with John Hoke.
I'm Colin Knight, your guide in the night. The name for the personification of evil. He is the opposite of Christ, the Anointed One of God. Without him, good and evil can't dance. Opposites attract in the war of heaven over earth.
Nostradamus, the greatest prophet for the last 500 years, not only knows who the Antichrist is, but also who they are. It was into a secret that he hid their true names in a code. Nostradamus foresaw not one, but three Antichrists. Each would be responsible for taking humanity one step towards the world's complete destruction.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, code named Mabus, with John Hoke, next in the Night Zone.
We all have busy lives and can't always get to the computer at a set time, date, place, and event. So what do? Well, blogtalkradio.com have come up with the idea. Using your RSS feed, all the archives that Blog Talk Radio provides, you can listen to your favorite show anytime you wish. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com, go to your favorite show page, and download the archive, choose the show that you want to listen to, or tune in to the RSS feed and listen to us live. You'll be glad you did. Nostradamus foresaw not one, but three Antichrists. Each would be responsible for taking humanity one step towards the world's complete destruction.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, with John Hoke, next in the Night. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
John Hoke, are you with me, Don? The last encounter with you, it was a disaster. Technical glitches, phones bouncing, echo all over the place. But John, as a consummate professional that he is, got through a very rough and poorly timed interview with yours truly. So we're hoping for smoother roads tonight, John. Welcome back to the Night Zone. Officially, welcome back to the Night Zone.
Well, it's great to be one of your first shows, if not the first show, for the new year.
You got in closer to the new year.
Yes, indeed.
My team, crack research team that they are, they give me these talking points to give me a little bit more education than I really have, probably. But tonight's talking points with John Hoke reads in big black letters, it's John Hoke. That's it. You've been very, very busy boy, John.
Well, basically, this is the year which I call in the cosmic night cycle. This is one of the units of time that are in many prophetic traditions. We hear about the Mayan calendar. We hear about a lot of things related to 2008, which just ended as kind of the cusp borderline between the ending Piscean Age and the beginning of the Aquarian Age, or at the very least now we are slightly now feeling more of the influences of the newer age rather than having this rather schizophrenic two-year period where it seems like our past and our future are having a tug of war with us. Now, we, for better or worse, we move forward more and more, and eventually takes a couple centuries, but we move until we move completely into the Aquarian Age. Now we are dealing, as the last year drew down, to some pretty dramatic changes in direction. And what brings to the forefront this issue is the one of the burning questions that most of the 20 million people around the world interested in Nostradamus often ask me for the last, well, ever since 1986 when I started writing books. Who is this character, this figure, who's under an enigmatic name, an anagram, a wordplay called Mabus or Mabus, as some people call it. M-A-B-U-S is the name. He is unique in that Nostradamus is the only prophet of eschatology, of revelation-type prophets of the Judeo-Christian tradition, who sees not one but three antichrists. And the first antichrist was called Paul Nailoran, and that is actually an anagram for Nepalanwa. It's important to understand that Nostradamus hid his anagrams in French or Latin or languages he knew. A lot of people like to say, well, they take something and try to conjugate something that fits their own language, never asking the obvious question. If I'm a
Japanese, this was done just to protect his life, right? It was done just to protect his life, why he coded everything.
Well, this is the big why did Bodhidharma go to China kind of question. Why didn't he make it more clear? Why does he use the techniques that really stink of charlatanism to be so obscure? We naturally in our minds tend to be repelled by people who don't come up straight or make it too obvious. We're easily seduced by people who sound like they're talking straight to us, but are not, like many of our politicians. But when you have somebody who is out and out, obviously trying to hide something as he's telling you something, it always naturally in our instinctive reaction makes us think, well, why can't this guy just come up front and tell me? And there are reasons for it, not just the reasons that were to keep him and his family from being burned at the stake for witchcraft. And heresy. The other problems that dealt with, he said, the fragile sentiments of people who would read his work, if they could see how vastly different the future would be from what their fragile sentiments expect, they would damn their own future. So he also masked things for that reason. And thirdly, he masked them because he obviously saw what actually happened, that his work was actually used in the future as propaganda. It was used quite extensively in World War II by both sides.
Right.
That brings up the issue of the second Antichrist, who he called Hister, after the ancient name of the River Danube, and in which this person actually rose and grew up on the banks of the River Danube in Linz, Austria. He's speaking of Hister being Hitler. And people from the mid-1920s up on and through the war wrote books about, well, this Hister could be Adolf Hitler, a captain of Greater Germany, and other prophecies. The Crooked Cross is his son. The treaties that were broken in one of the prophecies were really treaties that Nostradamus used to drop the first two numbers of every year, so you get the year 41, year 45, year 38, 37. You could say, well, that could be any number of the last five centuries, but then again, when you actually go and find out that near about or exactly on the year 41 or the year 45, treaties were destroyed, unions broken, 1945 was the union of the Axis powers themselves when they were defeated, Italy, Japan, and Germany, and their allies, Hungary and Romania. The other number 41 is 1941. That was seeing the union broken, trade unions and treaties broken by the Japanese with the Americans and Pearl Harbor.
Right.
It also was the most famous treaty that actually started World War II, the non-aggression pact between Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler, which without which he could not, Adolf Hitler could not start World War II. Basically making sure his eastern back was protected while he attacked the western powers. That
mm-hmm.
was a union that was broken in 41, the most famous union broken, because that was the year when 3.5 million Germans went across 1,000 miles of Soviet frontier into Operation Barbarossa, which was the invasion of Russia, which ended the war for Hitler. It's also noted in the prophecies that Nostradamus talked about Barbarossa as perhaps this invasion. So now we've come with Napoleon to Hitler, and now we come to the time of the third Antichrist. And it's key to knowing when you're living in the times of the Antichrist is to understand, as my book Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, as you've read it, and you know that it's
uh-huh.
a really detective story.
It is a detective story from start to finish, and it's one of those where you have to go back and read a previous chapter to understand where that twist actually occurred. It is pretty well written. I got to tell you, John, I was quite impressed.
Well, thank you. It was. I've been delaying writing my final summation on it until I felt the times of the Antichrist were not only at hand, but we're actually living in them. And I started work on that detective story all the way back in 1983, and then
mm-hmm.
started publishing work in 86, and that's about 13 books ago. But I never actually took all the findings and all the false leads, because as the book shows, there's leads that look like they're going somewhere, just like culpable people, circumstantial evidence that points
mm-hmm.
to a certain figure in history back in the 80s, like an Abu Nidal or an Abu Abbas back in the 80s, because one of the codes to decode Mabus is you drop an anagram game, is where you drop the single letter at the beginning and the end of a word. If you drop the M and the S from Mabus, you get Abu, which is the name father, which is used by every Palestinian Liberation Organization terrorist. So suddenly you have thousands of potentials that come out of that. So I when I was looking at the Palestinian possibility, which rather seems ironic now, since we seem to be at the time of this recording poised to see Gaza grad, the Stalingrad inside the Gaza Strip, an urban battle between Israeli forces, which is very much a part of triggering these being the times of the Antichrist, because not only do the leads point to a Palestinian link, mainly because the key to traveling down, being a sleuth sayer or soothsayer when you're working with Nostradamus is dealing with his love of classical metaphors, Mediterranean
mm-hmm.
classical metaphors that include the biblical lands as well as the Hellenistic and the Roman.
And let's take a break right at the Roman there. Let's take a quick break so everybody can recharge their glasses, and we'll head into we'll forage into the Middle East area in just a couple of seconds. So hang in there, John.
President, I will end misguided defense policy. Out of Iran.
That Iran has tested a long-range missile in the Persian Gulf. This obviously has dramatic implications, not only for the Middle East, but also for the entire world.
Miles into space to destroy an orbiting satellite. That test is part of China's efforts to establish a military presence in outer space.
They believe it was indeed a test of a nuclear device.
And I will negotiate with Russia, IGBM,
off the surface of the Earth. And the chief supercustomers are nuclear arsenal.
Russia said it has fired a new intercontinental ballistic missile. The Russian missile has multiple warheads. Each can hit a separate target.
Avis, then will soon die. There will come a people and beast a horrible rout. Then suddenly one will see vengeance, hundred hand thirst hunger when the comet will run. You're in the night zone with Comet Night. Of John Hogue from HogueProphecy.com.
Tonight, we shall look into the shadows of the Nostradamus prophecy of the Antichrist, decoded by John Hogue, codenamed
Mabus.
Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, with John Hogue.
I'm Colin Knight, your guide.
Please don't say it. It's too easy to believe. I'll go crazy.
Music we use in the background there is Natasha's Ghost from GarageBand.com, a fabulous band, just a real good sound. We have with us John Hogue from HogueProphecy.com. We were discussing how we work backwards with the Nostradamus prophecies and how he coded things, John, in flowery text, if you will.
Or sort of what he would call nebulous. More poetic passion and wildness than an honoring of syntax and grammar. And in that way, he also makes it difficult because you don't know sometimes if he is using a word as a verb or as an adverb, and it kind of opens up the door to possible interpretations at times. But one thing that does help one pass through the organized chaos of Nostradamus' writing is his use of classical metaphors as key clues. See, what often happens is Nostradamus wrote 10 volumes of History of the Future, which he called the Prophecies, the Prophetiae.
Okay.
And it was serialized in 1555, eventually was all constituted into one volume a few years after his death. But the original French editions of the serializations are there. And along with them, although we have lost about nearly half of the quatrains from the seventh volume. These are four-line prophecies that he uses. His plan was to write 10 volumes of 100 four-line verses called quatrains and call the volume Centuries. Kind of a, some people debate whether he was playing with the word centuries and the fact that that is indeed a century, 100 things. And but anyway, he then seemed to have taken all of it out of sequence, as if sometimes a prophecy is actually related. You'll find a quatrain in the second volume, and then you'll find another quatrain in the tenth volume, which seems to be part one to this part two. And then the seventh century, you'll find part three. And how you find them is over many years, at least in my case, how I find them is over many years, you get to know Nostradamus' very chaotic, dyslexic mind, and try to understand Nostradamian French and how it works uniquely to Nostradamus and his codifying of his work, which the codes, the people who try to find some all-encompassing code to unlock Nostradamus' prophecies will always fail to find an answer because they are theorizing something that's fundamentally off base from what Nostradamus' mind was. He was not an organized mind like a contemporary like Da Vinci, who was trying to hide in backwards notes, written backwards, in a special language, a lot of his secrets. Nostradamus was a chaos mentally. And but in chaos, as Nietzsche teaches, there can be order found. And there is a certain kind of word order and use of words that do come up in random patterns that clearly, at least in my mind, can be used as links to certain prophecies. For one thing,
well,
a word
well,
constantly comes up as... Go ahead.
Sorry. Most certainly, by your view of how Nostradamus has visioned what he claims to have seen. For instance, your predictions of two presidents in the election. Remember, we danced around this one the last time you were here, and you said, how can that be? And you could not decipher it at that point in time. Yet, here we see Clinton now taking Secretary of State, which is, in many people's minds, the hand of God. And you have Richardson and Biden all taking a part in the cabinet. I think you hit that one dead square on the head, John. I can understand how you look at those words and move them into position. I really can.
Well, it's often in the art of interpreting prophecies or having visions and then interpreting them is, as Jean Dixon once said in a show I was on with her, you know, that sometimes she misreads her symbols. And I think it's even the best prophets can misread their symbols. And that's an important factor as a subplot to this detective story about trying to find who might be among the key individual candidates living and recently dead for Mabus. I stress recently dead because, unlike the other two antichrists, the third antichrist is someone who's not only focused on the Middle East or from the Middle East, but unlike the other two, he is one of the first casualties of the war and mayhem that he unleashes on the world. And he may be one of the first to fall, and it's his death or events that happen at the milestone of his death that creates a huge, terrible destruction. And the word defait, the way Nostradamus uses it in the 16th century context, means an unraveling, as destruction. It means like a balkanization of the world. And it also implies that it could be caused by climate change and other things. In short, it sounds like he's saying, you know, when this guy dies and the world kind of unravels, civilization has this crisis of danger of unraveling economically, ecologically, etc.
I guess we could get into the Clinton argument of the definition of die. I mean, I can see some political figures that are dying a very slow death. And frankly, once they're out of office, you know, they're dead.
Well, you know, in the book, when we look at, you know, there are the two main prophecies, the Mabus prophecy, which during the commercials somebody read quite well, is the first of the two. And in both these parallel prophecies in very different volumes of Nostradamus' work, you clearly the language, as I go over it in the book, is that it means a violent, sudden death. It can't be stretched and construed to a lingering death.
Right.
And then very shortly after that, there's a terrible destruction or unraveling of people and animals. And this happens at a time when there's 100 powers seeking vengeance. There's thirst, which is his word often. He does what I call an apocalyptic sequence. It's in about 12 or 14 prophecies scattered throughout these prophecies, which will play with thirst, famine, war, renewal, or they'll say drought, Mars for war, you know,
so the plagues of Abraham, the old plagues, the cataclysmic event of setting the people free, correct?
Right, and And since Nostradamus is from that tradition, even though he's somewhat of a renegade Judeo-Christian member of that tradition, born of a Jewish family that had recently converted to Catholicism so they wouldn't be cast out of Provence. When the new king of France took Provence as part of France and basically was quite a raging anti-Semite, so they had to convert or leave, and they didn't want to leave, so they basically, Nostradamus grew up with living this double life of seeing Catholicism as in the true nature of that Greek word, which means being a universalist. Seeing God in all things universally, even different religions. The other form of Catholicism, which was at the time ruled by the Inquisition at the time, was more like, we want to put the whole universe into our narrow point of view. And if you don't fit, then you're to be burned or punished. And this is the struggle that's been in the Catholic Church for a very long time. And it was the subject of one of my books on the prophecies of St. Malachi called The Last Pope, which I also have on my website in its updated form as a digital book. But getting back on the track here, Mabus, as the prophecies, the two important prophecies we can go into, there's three actually. One that uses classical metaphors to make it very clear that the region of the Antichrist is the Middle East. And that is the one that talks about the infernal gods of Hannibal. He'll come from the infernal gods of Hannibal, great terror to all people. That the word Ephraim is one of those linking words, terror, that links, when it comes up, if you gather all the quatrains that use it in a specific way, you have a story right before your eyes. What you have with this guy who's a terror to all mankind has basically the classical metaphor to mask his name. The infernal gods of Hannibal, well, you study the Phoenician Baal gods, B-A-A-L, that dominated the region of North Africa from Carthage all the way into Babylon, Syria, the Palestinian area, Palestine, and down into Arabia. They were worshipped there. The god of Carthage was Baal Hamon, and Baal Hamon, when Carthage fell to the Romans, the Romans did not throw out old gods and replace them with their new. They just simply Romanized the gods that were there. Baal Hamon became Thurbo-Majus, M-A-J-U-S, just one letter shy of Mabus. When I saw that, I said, aha, this is a classic link anagram game here. So it says, okay, anything that deals with a reference to terror or coming from the skies, as is in the famous 1999 prophecy, the great king of terror descends from the skies in the year 1999 in September month. Now, nothing happened in September or even in the seventh month, because Sipwa can also mean seventh month. Nothing happened in September or July, which is our new seventh month, since Julius Caesar and Augustus gave us two more months since September was created. Now September is the ninth month. But the fact that he would say 1999 September month is a clue. And certainly in the recent period around 1999, September 2001, something definitely came like a terror out of the skies and crashed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And it was from a Middle Eastern source, from a man whose name, Osama bin Laden, actually is very easy to phonetically decode into Mabus. So he's one of the candidates. Now, 1999 in 1999 could be also a number anagram. And one of the things that the September month leads to is, well, maybe he doesn't mean 1999. He means, look at this number in a new way. Reverse the sequences of nines with ones, and 1999 becomes 9111 September month. Suddenly you have the date for the World Trade Center attack.
And the king of terror comes from the sky. And for those that are following along with any of Nostradamus' books, John books inclusive, you'll find that indexed at Century 10, Quatrain 72, as the King of Terror. He will enter the world stage descending from the distant future skies in the September month of 1999. Now, you know, given that, John, we will be right back. Hang in there.
All information provided in the Terror Chat radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agents. Although Terror Chat takes all precautions to provide quality information, Terror Chat assumes no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements.
As president, I will end misguided defense policy.
First, that Iran has tested a long-range missile in the Persian Gulf. This obviously has dramatic implications, not only for the Middle East, but also for the entire world.
It's firing 500 miles into space to destroy an orbiting satellite. That test is part of China's efforts to establish a military presence in outer space.
They believe it was indeed a test of the nuclear device.
And I will negotiate with Russia to take our ICBMs off air trigger alert and to achieve deep cuts in our nuclear arsenal.
Russia said it test-fired a new intercontinental ballistic missile. The Russian missile has multiple warheads. Each can hit a separate target.
Avis then will soon die. There will come a people and beast a horrible rout. Then suddenly one will see vengeance, hundred, hand, thirst, hunger, when the comet will run. You're in the Night Zone.
You are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight. And we have with us John Hogue from HogueProphecy.com. We're discussing the possible candidates for Mavis. And we got to Bin Laden in the Middle East, John. And so he was a definite candidate, do you think?
Osama Bin Laden, especially if you take... Since Nostradamus had a working knowledge of Arabic, since a lot of his work, Arabic words appear, and in Provence also, before it became more intolerant, was a place that saw a lot of Saracen thinkers visiting. And so he had some understanding of Arabic. And he, you know, a lot of times in our fast food news industry, where the most trusted news and name gives us information rapid fire without a lot of afterthought or forethought, one of the things that American news is famous for is mispronouncing foreign names. For instance, Iraq is just as bad as saying America. It's Iraq, it's like America. Osama bin Laden, as a lot of people say, it's actually Osama bin Laden, or Laden, as the correct pronunciation. So with the phonetic spelling of the Arabic name, you get U-S-A-M-A. Now, in anagram laws that Nostradamus used, that spells M-A-A-U-S. The law of anagram is that you can add or subtract redundant letters and replace you can replace at least one letter that is not in the original group of letters. So the A is easily replaced by a B, and you get Mavis.
So was this coding used? Was this coding used in the 1500s? Was this something new, or had this been used before for secret messages and the likes?
Well, with everything with Nostradamus, this is another unique thing that made him a bit of a renegade. He basically broke a lot of occult rules, or at least dogmas that were popular and still remain popular to this day. For instance, he's one of the few people that would actually take a little of Solomon's keys, take a little of Gemblinkus' theurgy practices from the Chaldean, Syrian, and Egyptian magical practices, and then mix it up with the Delphic traditions and the of the Pythias of different Greek colonies, and then presume the role of the priestess on the brass tripod and create. He basically customized his own tradition. And in the same way, as you read him and see how other anagrams decoded And because, of course, studying Nostradamus, we're all focused on things that are of interest of our immediate future. But Nostradamus' prophecies start in 1555 and cover... to study Nostradamus is rather an unorthodox study of the past 450 years, as well as the next 1800 to 2000. So when you look at all the different anagrams that have been successful, you start to see a certain pattern of rule that he follows, which is as much taking a part of what was popular at the time and also adapting his own customizations. And so with that in mind, I've come to look at these laws that seem to show up in his own lexicon that will even do something that they're kind of based on something that would happen in a lot of pamphlet writers' printing presses of the time. See, back 500 years ago, people were undergoing a parallel information revolution that to them was like our internet is today, our entry into cyberspace and their interconnectivity. That happened 500 years ago at the end of the 1400s with Gutenberg's printing press. And by the time Nostradamus had come into his adulthood, it was a full swing revolution of information. And like today, it was a bit sloppy. Like the software, like Bill Gates' software, it was a bit sloppy. And in that slop was a lot of people who would have not enough typeface to finish a word. So they would turn a B typeface into a D, take an M, turn it upside down to a W. And with these basic acts, just to be practical, just to innovate stuff that you don't have enough typeface to print, come some of the rules of anagram that Nostradamus would use. Case in point, another key candidate to the Antichrist, certainly been one of the most popular in the last 8 years, is a G.W. Bush. Now, when you take the word G.W.B.U.S.H., you do this in lowercase in anagrams, you then see that the W and G can, when they're turned upside down, be an A and an M. So it's A-M-B-U-S. Now, suddenly, I'm starting to see, as I write this out, M-A-B-U-S. And then what we then have is the H of Bush, which, as the laws allow, you can drop a redundant letter or that's completely irrelevant. Once you start seeing what is clearly the title that you're looking for or just seeing a clear word or name come out, then you can take out the erroneous single letter. So there you have
much,
George W. E.W. Bush.
Right, much like Hitler and Hitler.
Yes, the
similar method.
Yeah, and what's interesting with Hitler is it's spelled in the original French in a Gothic S, which has a little bar, horizontal bar in the middle of what looks like an S, elongated S. And so it's almost pointing, Nostradamus is almost pointing to the fact that the T is important because it almost makes it look like two T's. Hister is Hitler. You see,
right.
It's a way of him nudging us with playing with the letters.
You think that Obama, Bin Laden, was the third Antichrist, and his death was the beginning of the prophecy? Yeah.
Well, Osama bin Laden is one of the candidates. The George W. Bush is one of the candidates. Saddam Hussein is one of the candidates if you use another law of anagram, which reverses letters. You spell Saddam, S-A-D-D-A-M. You've got S, turn it around, you have S-A, turn the D's around into B's, and you have B-B-A-S, Mabas. It's already phonetically sounding a little like Saddam.
Hmm.
If you understand the Arabic, Saddam is how you say it, is more of a long, ooish kind of A, that's your U. One of the A's becomes U. You have a redundant B that's not needed, you drop it. You drop the single letter again. There it is, Mavis. Out of somebody's name that on face value doesn't sound at all like Mavis, but if you use the law of reverse anagramming, it is. Now, that also brings us to something that, you know, a lot of people have. One thing a book like this will do for every reader is a book that looks into this mystery is show where our biases lead. When I talk to Democrats who've never liked George W. Bush, they say, yeah, it figures. He's got to be the Antichrist. But look, he's almost out of office and nothing has happened, so is he? When I, of course, the Republicans over the last 8 years who read my books have been very upset with me about even considering that an American man, a president, could be the third Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Now the roles are switched because the book also looks at the at the height of Obama mania is something that really pushes people's emotional buttons, since there's such an emotionality, a mass emotionality about Obama mania, that a lot of the people who thought I really got it right with calling George Bush a candidate are now lividly angry that I would even presume that Barack Obama's name could, even though it does rather easily convert into Mavis, means that he's also a candidate. Let's first, before I go ahead with that, let's look at Obama. O-B-A-M-A. Now, if you study Kenyan language, the O is more U. Obama. Obama is how it really should be. Once again, Americans have that way of straightening out the vowels. Like Iraq is Obama. It's really Obama. So it's an O-U or a U. So U-B-A-M-A. Well, look at that. M-A-A-B-U is in the anagram. That means drop one A and replace the missing S, and you have Mavis.
Wow.
You also have in Obama's group, Ray Mavis, who's one of his consultants on Middle Eastern Arabic affairs, whose name outright is Mavis, or Mavis, as he calls himself. He was the former governor of Mississippi and former ambassador under Clinton, Bill Clinton, to Saudi Arabia.
And here we are, John, worrying of whether Barack Obama, whether his birth certificate is legitimate and if he is eligible to be president. And you listen to the Bergs and the Alan Keys of this world, that, you know, they're going to do everything they can do to prevent him from, you know, being the Antichrist, if you will, being Mavis. They've almost villainized him into that position.
Well, here's the thing, too, which the book tries to show, is that there are sometimes people over the years that just are too good to be true as a candidate. I mean, the name fits, for instance, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who headed al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia, or al-Qaeda in Iraq, because it's been incorrectly defined by CNN. Was the al-Qaeda units fighting Americans and more secular Arabs and Shias in the Iraq insurrections that came after the invasion by America in 2003. He died suddenly in a violent death of rockets and bombs blowing up his safe house, and then within a month, 2.5 years ago, the Lebanese-Israeli war erupted with Hezbollah fighting Israel. And it looked at that point like, oh boy, here's the thing that's going to unravel the Middle East and cause the region to plummet into a terrible destruction, undoing rout of people and animals. And so I had lots of letters of people saying, well, look, Abu Musab, Musab, M-U-S-A-B, actually has Mavis in it without any fixing, just like Hister nearly is a near fit for Hitler. So it, and he's got Abu at the beginning, which is a link to dropping the first and last letter of Mavis, so it's Mavis Mavis. So people were saying he's the guy, and look, he soon died, and look, this war is starting, but then again the war fizzled out and nothing of an unraveling of the region happened. So
however it does look as if it's about to unravel as we speak. We are taping here on a Friday evening to where time to next Tuesday, and as we move into the weekend, it's not looking good out there, John.
Well, in fact, we may be, I think, at right now, it's approaching dawn in a couple more hours in there, where I am in Pacific Standard, 10 hours ahead. So So it's going to, dawn is about to break in the Gaza area, and it's very likely that the war will start in a few hours, and as we are taping this. And certainly by the time this is being broadcast next week, we'll know for sure whether a new level of terrible destruction potential of people and animals are there. And, of course, that also leads to another issue. Barack Obama, whether he deserves, I don't think he does, but he deserves, whether he deserves to be a candidate or not, as a scholar of prophecy, I have to go beyond my own personal views and biases to acknowledge what is an obvious, important figure, almost world figure, looked like as a messiah to help everybody get out of everything. I mean, the whole world is looking for Barack Obama to pull a rabbit out of his hat and make everything work for the economy. And you know, the beauty about his interesting, complicated sole force is that Barack Obama also has prophetic leanings that show if he sees either a candidate for Nostradamus' Antichrist, or he's almost a reincarnation of Abraham Lincoln. So, but Janus faced destiny, and we'll just have to see which one he is. I frankly don't think he, of the four major candidates, that he is the Antichrist. But the problem is that, as I show in the book, we make assumptions that Nostradamus always read rightly what he saw before him. And when you have a situation coming next year where you literally have Obama versus Osama, Obama versus Osama, it's very possible that Nostradamus misread his symbols. And
absolutely.
Maybe Mabus is not the man of evil, but the man who is victimized by evil.
Absolutely. I see where you're going with that, and reading in the book, I kind of picked that out to John. Hold on a second. We're going to do a quickie here, and then we'll be right back with everybody. Talking about Obama, remember, Obama is the change.
Change has come to America.
Change has come to America. Has it come to America? Are we seeing the final days? Are we viewing Mabus reincarnated, another incarnation of Mabus? Is it possible? Well, we have John Hoke with us tonight bringing us that information, and we've come through the Osama bin Laden, and we're moving into the present day as we look a little closer at John's book. So, John, let me ask you this question very succinctly here so we can make sure our people hear okay. How can we get a hold? This is an e-book. This is Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus. Am I correct?
Yes. It is a digital e-book. It is a PDF file. It is not made of paper. And of what I've strive to do in my work is not only talk about the future, but be an agent of helping positive futures, if I can, happen. As a writer, I have written 10 books made of trees. In 2003, I have written 5 books. Only one has been made of trees. The other 4 have been digital books. And I strongly recommend that those who preach green evolution and green industries and things that help relieve the burden of the planet's ecological resources, that you consider reading books that are made of electrons and photons that you purchase and download in the speed of light onto your computer. And if you so wish to then print them and read them, that is fine. But it's one way to eliminate your carbon footprint as a reader of books, to read them as PDF files. And so this book, Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codenamed Mabus, is something that you can buy by going to HogueProphecy.com and looking at the Hogue Prophecy store. And you can actually electronically purchase it through PayPal, and it's quite a secure way. And then once that purchase happens, you can immediately download it and read it. Even for those people who want to go the route of snail mail, we have a way of also getting it to you. But you just go to hogueprophecy.com, which is HogueProphecy.com, and check it out. The other thing, too, is to see a whole list of my e-books and physical books that are listed every other day. Now I'm able to write a commentary on how prophecy relates to current events. And as you can imagine, the last month, 2 months, has kept me almost writing an article a day because there's just one thing happening after another.
It's pretty fast-paced, that's for sure.
Yes, what I find intriguing is right now the tale of two partitions that are coming home karmically to roost for the world. Back in 1947 and into 48, we saw the British Empire hastily back out of two regions, and the world body of the United Nations hastily arranged some solution that they neither consulted the peoples that were there or the peoples that were coming there, and created, through partition of Palestine, a Jewish Palestine and an Arab Palestine, which has created this whole mess which may erupt into this Gaza urban battle, which could unravel the Middle East. Conversely, in 47, the partition of India, something that Mahatma Gandhi had predicted would cause four terrible wars, three of which have already been fought. I'm talking about the major conflicts, not the little border clashes like Cargill and others, for those of you who write me letters about that. When I talk about three major wars, we're talking about conflicts across the entire frontier of India and Pakistan. And this, we are now, at this moment, seeing that the negative results of that partition also coming home to roost with a buildup of military forces between two nuclear powers in South Asia. So this year is already starting off as a year, almost year two of the age of the Antichrist.
Reading through the book, and I dug at you for the last hour, hoping you would spill the beans, but of course you're keeping it mum as to your final understanding of Mabus, and I can understand why. So those people out there, make sure you check the ebook out. Go to hogueprophecy.com, check out the e-service, and pull down Nostradamus and the Antichrist, codename Mabus, to find out in the end who done it, because it's a fabulous investigation.
Yes, and it could even be, I'll just give you a little hint, what I might think is the candidate, or at least the one in my mind that is the culprit. I will just hint that he may already be dead.
He may already be dead. Oh, that one's got me. Now, you know, I hate something I can't scratch. Hold on a second.
You're in the night zone with the Calling Knights.
Now, he may already be dead. Now, this one's got you, John, you got me. You see, 2 minutes to go. I can't even quiz you strong enough to find out what your statement meant, but now I have to finish this darn thing. And I was hoping for an early night, so this is going to be my finishing read tonight, because I hadn't got to the end, and I was kind of hoping that I could squeeze it out of you early and on time, you know? But, John, it's been an absolute pleasure once again. The book is fabulous. It's such a brilliant read. It truly is.
It was a difficult child to write, and I've often found that my books are like my children, and sometimes the difficult children turn out to be the best, even though they were really tough to write. And this one I feel that way about, as well as my biography on Nostradamus that I produced in 2003 called Nostradamus, A Life and Myth. because of the difficulty of explaining the complicated detective story on with Mabus, and also the issue of Nostradamus' life, how you cannot divorce it from the myth that he created out of his own life. So I had to weave the two together in kind of like the Oliver Stone effect in the case of his biography. But with this, it was just simply so many leads, so many fascinating ways to go. And even the strange idea that the murderer of our future may have already met his punishment.
John, absolute pleasure. I got to have you back, and let's not leave it for a year. Let's have you back in next month.
Yes. Well, we have the predictions for 2009, which I'll be releasing at the end of January. So there'll be a lot to talk about.
All righty. Thank you very much, John Hogue from HogueProphecy.com.
Thanks for having me, Colin.
John Hogue, one of the most fascinating interviews I get the pleasure of doing from time to time. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and monsieur, that's it, that's all. Hard to believe that we burned through an hour, but we have. Tell you what, make sure you're back next Tuesday on the 13th. We got a real special surprise for you. In fact, every Tuesday of the month of January, we will be doing a live show, so make sure you come on back 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, the 6th, 13th, 20th, and 27th. January the 27th, we have Dale Paul Roberts with us. Chat soon.
Holly from Endless Journey and the Night Zone. Find out about the abduction of two people in New York who are simply trying to drive home, or the alien bloodletting rituals of the Mayans. Find out what happened to investigators on the infamous Mount Misery Road, or their encounter at the deserted Kings Park Mental Institution. Decide if the reptile hiding in the teenager's room was from this world or beyond. Watch for the ghostly experience of the New York City policeman. And then tune in to Night Zone, hosted by Colin Knight on Blog Talk Radio. Watch and listen as Colin interviews those who live the stories we write about, plus many other great guests. Visit Endless Journey, The Night Zone, and listen to our show while browsing our articles. Just Google Chris Holly, Endless Journey, or Blog Talk, The Night Zone. See you there if you dare.
You're in The Night Zone with Colin Knight.
All information provided by the radio program is the opinion of the speaker and not necessarily the opinion of the owner or its agency. Although it takes all precautions to provide quality information, and no responsibility or liability for the legitimacy of information provided by guests' opinions or statements. Or in the Night Zone with Colin Knight.
We all have busy lives. And there comes a time where we cannot be sat in front of our computer at a certain time, date, place for events, and we miss some of the special moments in time that we could receive. So, Blog Talk have come up with a method of you being able to receive Blog Talk at any time that you desire. All you have to do is find your favorite station, come to their Blog Talk page, and draw down their audio file. Draw down the player, and you can sit that on your desktop, on your web page, in your user group, anywhere you desire, and play blogtalkradio.com and your favorite channel anytime you desire. You have to like that. Thank you, blogtalkradio.com. We do have to get out of here. You people be careful out there. Love you all. Catch you next Tuesday. Blessings upon your household. Good night now.